It's 9th century BC. And the Syrian army is roughhousing the Israelites. They're routinely humiliating them, making incursions into their land. They're taking things. They're killing people. They're even taking captive individuals. They're humiliating them. On one such visit, the Syrian army takes captive a little girl, and they take her back to their land, and she becomes part of the house of a man named Naaman. Now, Naaman is a field marshal. He's a commander in the army. He's a man of prestige, of power, of authority. When he speaks, other men follow. His voice carries great weight. And in any other situation, 9 times out of 10, this one time, this little girl makes all the difference. Because normally, we might just leave the story at this point, at this juncture in history. This little girl that is taken captive is just like any other girl that has been taken captive. Just like any other girl that has been brought into the home of an enemy to become a maiden, a servant, a slave. She didn't choose to be ripped from her parents' arms. She didn't choose to be taken from her land. She didn't choose to be placed into the house of Naaman. But there she is. Unfortunately, most of the time, a story like this might go unnoticed, might be forgotten in the annals of history. We may never read of her again. But there's more to her story. You see, she's in the home of Naaman. And we can deduce that at some point she sees something or hears something. You see, Naaman is a general, is a commander, is one that orders other people around. He's a powerful man. But he has something that he's very ashamed of. Do you ever have something that you're ashamed of? Something that you dare not tell anybody else. It's okay if you do. I think we all do. Doesn't have to be a grievous sin, although is there a sin that's not grievous? But maybe it's just something that you're just embarrassed about, or something that you're dealing with, something that you are trying to unction up the strength to be able to deal with, and you just cannot. Maybe it's a deep, dark secret, an addiction of some sort. Maybe it's a diagnosis that you received. You ever see on the news where it says that so-and-so died, and you learn at that point, you say, my goodness, that came out of nowhere, but they'd been dealing with the illness for months and sometimes years. There's something that you're keeping secret. And Naaman has a secret. He has leprosy. Now, Naaman's leprosy is different than modern-day leprosy. Modern-day leprosy disfigures the body. Naaman's leprosy, or skin disease, would have caused a flakiness to his skin. It's embarrassing, isn't it? you would have been very mindful of that. Most of us with a condition of some sort, we try to hide our condition. Only the most strong and mature among us can proudly display maybe the thing that looks off and wrong. But Naaman is embarrassed by his condition, because his condition does not speak to the authority and the man that he is. He's a commander of the army, for crying out loud. But yet he has this skin disease. And so he's dealing with this. And it's probably creeping down his arm onto his hand. And whenever he takes off his shirt, you can see it. You know that something's not right. He's ill. The little girl that was taken captive in battle, who's now in the home of Naaman. In 2 Kings 5 and 3, says to him, "If you, my Lord, were with the prophet of God, you would be healed." Now, when she says the prophet of God, she's not talking about any prophet. Go and find a prophet and be healed. Because I'm going to tell you something, there were prophets all over the place. We see it yet today. There are prophets galore. For any type of thought that you want, there's a prophet. But just as we have false prophets today, there were false prophets in Naaman's day. No. This little girl, this Israelite girl who now is in the home of Naaman, is not talking about any prophet. She's talking about the premier prophet, Elisha. We're first introduced to Elisha when Elijah, his mentor, calls him from his parents' home and says, "Come and follow me." Elisha's there when Elijah's called up in a whirlwind. That grand and great story. Elisha pleads with his mentor, would you grant that a double portion would be given to me? And indeed, he does receive that. Some of the greatest miracles in all of Scripture come at the ministry of Elisha. He raises a woman's son who has died, one of those wonderful and beautiful accounts, miraculous accounts. He also is sitting down to eat one time, and he's with some others, and they begin to partake in this stew. And the stew is poisoned. It's not good. One of the men cries out, says, "This stew has death in it. If we eat of it, we will die." And Elisha says, "Bring some flour." And they put the flour in and they mix it, and the stew is made well. I don't know if they had any biscuits, but he basically makes gravy, doesn't he? And he says, it's made well now. So Elisha is performing all sorts of miracles, and he's the premier prophet. All of Israel knows Elisha. And this little girl in the home of Naaman says, "Go to the prophet that you might receive healing." So Naaman takes this advice because he's desperate. He's desperate. Have you been desperate? where that which you're trying to hide is creeping up. It's coming down your arm. You can see it on your palms. You try to hide it. A bandage here, a cloak there, but there's no hiding it anymore. And he goes to his king and he says, if it pleases you, may I go to Israel and may I visit this prophet that I may receive healing. The king says, it pleases me. Now here, take some money with you. In essence, a peace offering. And he takes it and he leaves and he journeys to visit the prophet. It says that Naaman comes to the king of Israel's home, his palace, his place of residence. And why wouldn't you? After all, he's the king. Shouldn't he be the one that you go to? That when you want answers, you go to the top, huh? You ever been on the phone with somebody and you're trying to work something out, a part to an item that you purchased wasn't in the box, and so you call, and they say, well, we're really trying to help you here, and you say, I don't have time for you. I need to speak to your boss, huh? It's all right to do that. I do that. Go up the chain. Some of us start right at the boss, say, whoever picks up the phone, I know you're not in charge. Give me the top person there. Naaman does that. He goes to the king's house, and he says, I've brought with me a peace offering. Here it is. Now, the king is nervous. In the words of Admiral Akbar, it's a trap. And it is a trap. That's what he thinks. Why wouldn't it be a trap? After all, this is a field commander in the army of Syria. And he's bringing me a gift and he wants a favor from me? Mm-mm. We get suspicious like that of people at times, don't we? Because think about this. This man is the enemy. We're told to love our enemy, but does that mean to give him favors and to accept this gift from him? He just pillaged our land time and time and time again. He's taking our children from our homes and enslaving them. He's not to be trusted. And the king of Israel tears his clothes, which is a sign of remorse. It's a sign of fear. It's a sign of mourning. It's recognizing that he does not agree with what's happening. He's overly suspicious, and he's entirely intent on not helping. The prophet Elisha, who lives down the road and hears of the king's rending of his garments, tearing of his garments. And he says, why, king, do you tear your garments? Send this Syrian, this enemy of God's people, to my home that I may heal him. For indeed, what better way to glorify God than for the prophet of God to heal even the enemy of God's people? Jesus might say, love your neighbor and love your enemy and love everyone. And so Naaman goes to the house of Elisha, and he has a whole caravan with him. All of his supporters. And he's got this mission to be healed. And he comes and Elisha sends out a messenger, a servant. He doesn't even come to meet him. And he says, my master says that if you'd like to be healed, go down to the Jordan and dunk yourself seven times. Now, what we're dealing with here is a bit of ritual. We're dealing here with an item of cleansing. We read about it in Leviticus. You see, because when someone has leprosy or any type of skin disease, and the term leprosy within the text is a rather broad term, but a skin disease, something that is ailing them, only the priest could announce healing, because that person is unclean. And cleanliness is everything for the Jews. There were things that they couldn't eat. There were things that they couldn't do. There were things that they could not have affecting them, such as an illness, like a skin disease, that would make them unclean. And they could not, if you were a Jew, enter into the sanctuary. You were forbidden until the priest said, you are clean. Because cleanliness means everything. Anybody a clean freak? I'm a clean freak. Sometimes I take 2 showers a day. I'm not joking about that. I'm fanatic about it. Brooke and I were chatting the other night. It was right after the Valentine's dinner. And she was going around and she was picking up items off of the table that was garbage. And I said, Brooke, you're after my own heart here. Here you are, cleaning up. She says, you know me. You know me. See, we've shared that. She said, when I get home tonight, I got to make all the beds. It's sheet day. Anybody have sheet day? Where you wash your sheets? Anybody not have sheet day? Woo! I saw some hands, Tyree. Jeez. Lord, come quickly. But you got sheet day, huh? If I had my way, every day would be sheet day. You know what I mean? I'm like, I slept on that last night. We need to have sheet day today. Wash the sheet. But I told Brooke, I said, I love sheet day. It's my favorite day. You know, you nestle down into sheet day and the sheets are clean and you rest better. And I told her, I said, when Amanda and I first were married, Amanda caught me doing something that she found highly disturbing. She came home and I was on top of the bed with the vacuum, vacuuming the mattress. She said, I know, I do the same thing. Amen, sister. Because listen, hey, no telling what's in there. I said, if I could, it would be mattress wash day. I'd put the mattress in the washing machine if I could. Cleanliness matters, man. Amen. And so, here is Elisha, and here is Naaman. And Naaman has a skin disease. And that makes him unclean. And Naaman is also a member, a commander in the army of the people that are enemies of God's people. So he's an enemy, and he's unclean. This man is about as far away from God as you can be. He's about as far away as anybody could be. And here he is at the door of Elisha. And Elisha sends out a messenger telling him to go dunk 7 times in the Jordan River. And Naaman snaps. Did he ever get angry? when God tells you to do something a certain way? Because look at what Naaman says. He says, hey, I could have dunked myself into a number of rivers along the way and back home. I had to come all the way here to Israel to dunk myself in the Jordan? I had to come here? I could have done that anywhere. But you're telling me that I have to dunk myself here. And you're also telling me that this great and grand prophet couldn't just speak it? And furthermore, why didn't he come to the door? Doesn't say that, but I bet you he's upset about that too. Why didn't he come to the door? Why didn't he come at least have the decency? Does he know who I am? Elisha says, my servant will tell him what to do. Dunk in the river 7 times. And we debate God like that, don't we? We don't often want the way that God directs it to be. I'm not prepared for that to be the way that this transpires, God. Because that seems insane and unreasonable. You can just speak it. Just speak it. God says, I'm taking you through a journey. And God does that. He sometimes asks some crazy stuff of us. Not so we become worthy of anything, but so that he may be glorified and magnified. I was reading about some crazy requests made by people. And Forbes had up an article that talked about these crazy requests that are made by people staying in hotels all over the world. One of them said that they wanted to see a picture of Nicolas Cage in their room. You know Nick Cage? Been in some of the greatest movies ever. Been in some of the worst movies ever. Nick Cage, who played in Con Air, one of the most fantastic stories. Nick Cage, who was also in National Treasure. I believe they're making a new one of those, by the way. My son is ecstatic. I'm excited too. Nick Cage, who has done so many movies, so many things. This person wanted a picture of Nick Cage, and so the hotel obliged. And when the person walked in, on the TV screen was a picture of Nick Cage, and on the pillow was a picture of Nick Cage, and in the bathroom was a picture of Nick Cage. And they just put Nick Cage all over the place. Another person made a request that they wanted a llama in their room. A llama. The hotel obliged. You see, there's all these crazy requests sometimes, and that's what Elisha is doing. He's making a seemingly crazy request, but it's not really. Because wrapped up into all of this is Levitical law and procedure and idea. Seven's that number of completion. It's that number of perfection. It's that number of that we arrive at before we repeat again. You're dunking yourself 7 times. God is cleansing you of that ailment. But Naaman is having none of this, and he says, I will leave. I could have done this at home. He could have spoke it. Now his servants, his support team, how important is a support team, huh? A support system. Able to speak life into you. Because what does Naaman do? Naaman's ready to leave and to go back. And the support team that's with him says, now wait a minute. We've come all this way. Would you not consider doing what the prophet has asked? So important to have a good support team, isn't it? Those that are able to bring us back down. Those that are able to lift us back up. Those that are able to bring that balance and to speak that truth into our lives. To provide for us an idea that otherwise we might reject because we're so amped up, because we're so worked up. I think we all need those type of people. And that's what Naaman has. And they said, would you just concede to do as the prophet says? Hey, listen, if it doesn't work, we go back home. But we've come all this way. Naaman says, I will concede. And he goes down to the water and he dunks himself. 1, 2, 3, 7 times. Bible says that when he comes back up out of the water, that his skin disease is gone. That God has touched him. That the words of the prophet are true. Not only is his skin condition gone, but it says that his skin is like that of a newborn baby. Anybody like babies? Anybody not like babies? All right, some of you don't wash your sheets often enough, so I had to ask. So here you ever feel a baby? Isn't a baby fun to touch his face? Touch her arms and little thighs. And the softness and the tenderness and the feel of that. That's Naaman. His skin is new again. He departs from there and he goes back. And he says, there's only one God. And he's the God of Israel. And he's the God of Israel. Because he has proven himself to me. Because he has provided healing for me. Because he has taken that which was riddled with disease. And he's made me new again. And I think we identify with Naaman in a very real and clear way. That if you are a Christian, if you are a believer in the God of creation, whose Son is Jesus Christ and whose Spirit impacts our lives daily, then you know full well the story of Naaman, because it's the story of you and of me. It's the story of one that is so far from God. That's what Paul says. He says, I was an enemy of God. Paul, who for the first part of Acts we see is breathing threats and is breathing murder from his mouth. As he's hunting down Christians that he might persecute them and that they might be silenced and killed. He says, I was the worst of offenders. I was so far from God. I had all the education. I had all of the background. I had everything, but I was missing it. I was so far from God. Yet today I am even the least of these apostles. That's Naaman. An enemy of God, so far from him. Not only an enemy, but unclean in every way. Unable to enter the sanctuary. That's us. Before Jesus Christ purifies our heart, we indeed are enemies of the state. Enemies of the king. Enemies of God. And we are unclean in every way. But then he purifies us. And he takes all that is us and he washes it and he cleans it and he purifies it and he sanctifies it. And so we identify with Naaman. This great man of power, this great man of authority. And that's the gospel message, isn't it? That God has sent his Son to redeem the one that is far from God, to redeem the one that is unclean before God, to bring healing, to bring refuge, to do seemingly the impossible because no one else is able to do it. Only Elisha, through and by the power of the anointing of God on his life. Go down to the Jordan and dunk yourself, and on the seventh time you will be healed. How ridiculous is that? About as ridiculous as saying, God has a son who sends him to earth to be humiliated, to suffer and die, that he might redeem men of their disease. God does some crazy stuff, doesn't he? I'm Naaman, and you're Naaman. We're people that, left to our own, will die of our disease. We're humiliated by it. And if we're not humiliated by it, we will be. It will kill us. And it is killing us. So I'm Naaman. I'm Naaman because I had the skin disease. I was flaky. I was shifty. I was unclean. And then Jesus Christ brought healing into my life. And so I'm naming the unclean and I'm naming the clean. But do you know what? In the backdrop of all of this is a little girl. Is a little girl who's ripped from her home, who's isolated from her family, who's brought into a foreign land, who makes a proclamation to a man that is her captive and her enemy. Do you know that there is a prophet? And this prophet is of the one true God who brings healing to bodies. So I'm Naaman, but I pray to be the little girl. The little girl that in the midst of all that is going on has the wherewithal to recognize that God is still God. And so I ask you the question today, who are you proclaiming God to? Are you bragging about God? Are you identifying him as somebody worthy, even in the midst of your storm, in saying, guess what God can do? That even in the midst of your seemingly isolated life, that in the midst of your trial, that in the midst of your slavery and your bondage, that in the midst of the time when nothing seems to be going your way and you're in the darkest of valleys, in a foreign land, in a foreign way, in a place and in a situation that you yourself would never pick, but yet God remains faithful, and yet God remains worthy of being told about. Oh, I love to be the little girl. You take that out of context and you're in trouble. But think about it. Who are you sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with? Who are you not sharing? When are you not taking her example? When are you being silent? When are you saying, no, not feeling it today, God. Not feeling it today. We like to be Naaman, the redeemed and reconciled and healed. But it can be tough to be the little girl. Sharing of the gospel with not only strangers, but with those that we almost would rather not share him with sometimes. Would you stand with me today? I want you to think about somebody that you're praying for, somebody that you're thinking about today. Is there somebody that needs to know Jesus Christ in your life? They need to know the story of cleansing. They're as far away from God as you can get. Do you see them? Do you know them? Do you care? That's the step of the little girl. To say, hey, I can't heal you, but I'll tell you who can. I can't bring this cleansing into your life, but I'll tell you who can. And it may sound crazy, but oh, you'll be made whole again. You'll be made new again. Would you like to pray for that person today? Would you like to pray for the courage that you need in order to share that with that person? Because you need that courage. You can't just unction it up. Say, God, make in me the heart of this girl that I might share the gospel, that I might share of the redeeming and wonderful grace of Jesus Christ. Would you like to pray today for somebody? Come pray with us. Pray for that person. Pray for yourself.